Attention, attention, attention. News on this Sunday afternoon. A moderate to severe earthquake has struck the Los Angeles Basin and the islands of Japan. At this time, casualties and property damage is undetermined. A moderate to severe earthquake has struck Los Angeles Basin. The epicenter is near Pomona, California. Again, a moderate to severe earthquake has struck the entire Los Angeles Basin. The epicenter of the earthquake is near Pomona. Also, an earthquake of similar magnitude, about 4.5 on the Richter scale, ranging up to 5.5 to even 6 on the Richter scale, has struck Japan, the islands of Japan. Swarms of locusts that have been breeding in Saudi Arabia have besieged Somalia and Ethiopia, reminiscent of the old parables of Bible times. On top of the already overburdening problem of starvation due to the Somalian invasion backed by U.S. and Chinese interest, now on top of it, with 1 million people who have died of starvation, the locusts are swarming. An immediate appeal has been made to the 8 surrounding African nations and Arab nations to assist in this terrible blight of locusts that are attacking both Somalia and Ethiopia. Tehran, Iran. The government of the fascist Shah of Iran that was put in power by a bloody coup backed by the CIA, sponsored by U.S. imperialist tax dollars in 1963, has now taken strong repressive emergency measures and ordered all citizens to remain in their homes because of general unrest, strikes, protests that are taking place throughout Iran against policies of the repressive and oppressive regime of the Shah of Iran, one of the richest men in the world in that oil-rich nation that's under the bondage of fascism, a puppet member of CETO, of the Trilateral Commission. As you know, now that Afghanistan has taken a policy, pro-socialist, and in strong alliance with the Soviets, their problems in Iran have just begun, because they are completely surrounded by nations that are not friendly to CETO and the US-NATO alliance, Iraq, Syria, Soviet Union, and Afghanistan are all strongly allied in purpose. The battle wages on in Zaire as U.S. Carter calls for a Pan-African so-called peacekeeping force, which indeed has become an invading force today, trying to put down the insurgency, the revolution of the Katangan people for liberation. 1,500 U.S. troops, several thousand French legionnaires, 2,500 Belgians, unknown amount of troops from Senegal, a puppet regime of NATO, equally unknown amount of troops from Morocco, but the crack elite troops of the Kingly Guard of that fascist state of Morocco. Imperialism is determined to keep Zaire under the bondage, under the boot of bondage of the Trilateral Commission, transnational, multiple national corporations that are causing the suffering in the world, in which over 1 billion are starving to death, according to statistics of the United Nations, and 2 out of 3 babies go to bed hungry. the world news is not particularly pleasant these days. We go back in history to look at the 16th. As we've noted, the 16th has some peculiar patterns. May 16th, 1953. In its March issue of Monthly Freedom magazine, Paul Robeson described North Carolina as planning on this day a festival of murder, entombing four Negroes on May 16, 1953. Raleigh Speller, Clyde Brown, Benny and Lloyd, Ray Daniels, all appointed to death to the gas chamber on May 16, 1953. The festival had been postponed by an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, which ruled, however, that there was nothing prejudicial in excluding Negroes or blacks from the Speller and Brown juries. Both were condemned to death for alleged rape against white women. North Carolina, in practice, applies the death penalty only to black people. May 16, 1963. The battle for peace and order in Birmingham, Alabama, seemed at press time to have been won, at least temporarily. But even with 3,000 federal troops ordered by President Kennedy to stand on alert near the city, and with Alabama's Governor George Wallace, avowed racist, vowing to maintain and keep federal troops out of Birmingham by legal action, the city smoldered from fires throughout the ghettos of last Sunday morning's disorders and for more than a half century of brutal police state enforcement of segregation. As you know, the news has not changed in the South from the news I gave you yesterday and earlier about the horrible things that are being done to blacks. Frame-ups. It was in Alabama City where all the police were just let off yesterday for crimes of brutality and torture against the black community. State and local security measures on May 16, 1963 had to be stiffened, but even with the restoration of relatively some balance of order, two blacks were shot to death on May 16th, and police said there were at least 10 knife fights where whites killed blacks, or injured blacks, rather. It took a surprisingly long time for a city as tense and tough as Birmingham to erupt. There were 6 weeks of demonstrations, which grew more and more massive in the final week before the situation, termed explosive for several days, finally blew up about midnight. Just before midnight, May 16, fires raged in the black district near a motel, 6 stores, 12-story, 12 high-level apartment houses burned. Before police arrived at the motel, a crowd of angry blacks were already there. Firemen and police were met by a barrage of bricks and pieces of cement as the police brutally shot into the crowd of black protesters with their few Indian and white sympathizers. May 16, 1973. Indian militants at Wounded Knee, South Dakota, laid down their arms after occupying the town for 70 days to protest the oppression of Native Americans. Their surrender came on May 16, 1973. The ceasefire and surrender was achieved when Sioux tribal chiefs received a letter from the White House signed by newly appointed presidential counselor Leonard Garment. Garment promised that at least 5 White House representatives would renegotiate the important 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty with the Indian holdouts if they abandoned Wounded Knee by May 16. The representatives, the letter stated, would include Garment and President Nixon's recently appointed Chief of Staff, General Alexander Haig, who I told you about in the news today, has become an aggressive and bellicose warrior as chief of NATO forces in Europe. The Fort Laramie Treaty granted the Ogallala Sioux Indians sovereignty over all of western Southern Dakota, supposedly, an area today that is still dominated by white business interest, because the treaty, the agreement, as always, with the government and Indians and blacks, was not kept. I just thought that might be of interest to some of you on the 16th. We want to take great care in our use of sharp instruments. Anyone having knives must have them cleared for their work. There are too many knives going around, too many dangerous accidents can come from those knives that are used for wood whittling and so forth. All knives are to be approved, are there to be kept in central supply under your name for times when you need them for your work. But it is very important that we are extremely careful with instruments that could injure, with explosive material in the garage, gas, like acetylene welding or anything else, pumping up tubes, tires, how we drive our tractors. We need to be more safety conscious. Let us remember Tommy Bikeman and how he was devastated, took a miracle when he was blind, dead, broken in body, to come back to be with us now. In spite of his bones being broken, they had actually been thrown through his skin. We must take great care. We've had more safety consciousness than most communities, but it can never be enough. We have come too close too many times. Too close too many, many times. Colombia. Elections are being held, which looks apparently like the right-wing regime will totter and be replaced by a social democracy in view of weeks and weeks of student strikes and trade union hunger strikes and militant activity all through Colombia. Radio Voice of America says that Colombia will have to have social change. All of South America is demanding more participation by the people, more reforms, and the elimination of military oppressive regimes. It is time. It is certainly time. The Vietnam-Cambodia border conflict continues. The large-scale border clashes between the socialist states of Vietnam and Cambodia due to undue nationalism that has no place in those who are Marxist have, according to Western report, decreased in intensity in the last several weeks, but the armed conflict, accompanied by public exchanges of very serious charges, continues. Many socialist countries, communist parties and organizations, as well as progressive individuals, have expressed the hope that the conflict will be settled peacefully. The Chinese have been blamed for fanning the flames of conflict in their open militant support of Cambodia, which is now known as Kampuchea. Kampuchea. In order to inform you, members of the Jonestown community, on the Kampuchea-Vietnam dispute, we try to give you some news and background of the ethnic conflicts. As the border clashes have escalated, it has become evident that sharp political differences going back decades, a decade is 10 years, play a key role in the dispute. Among the questions that one or another side has raised are the Kampuchean United Front with Norodom Sihanouk and the question of Indochina Federation, among other issues. Combined with this, there are differences in current foreign and domestic policy between the two nations. Vietnam is pro-Soviet, and Kampuchea is pro-China. These questions are taken up from time to time in commentary, along with that of the border dispute. It seems evident that the border question, while extremely complex and delicate, was only one element in a conflict that had been deepening for years. The first document is a composite drawn from two interviews given by Kampuchean Communist Party Secretary General and Prime Minister Pol Pot, capital P-O-L, capital P-O-T. The excerpts that I'm giving is from an interview granted to Yugoslav journalist on May 17. An interview with journalist of the Kampuchean Press Agency. The second selection is excerpts from a 28-page document issued April 17 by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Vietnam. The third selection is from an article by Cornell University Indochina Affairs Specialist Steve Hedder, originally published by the Swedish Kampuchean Friendship Association. Hedder gives a version of the background of the border conflict from the Kampuchean point of view. The final selection is excerpted from May 21 article appearing in the Far Eastern Economic Review, a bourgeoisie business publication of monopoly capitalism. The review article is based on an interview which includes Vietnam's version of the background to the conflict. All of the selections have been edited because I can't give you the full material. Kampuchea expresses its view of strife. Following is an excerpt from recent interviews with Kampuchean Prime Minister Pol Pot. Yugoslav journalist, if we have understood well, democratic Kampuchea faces many problems and difficulties of all kinds with her neighbors. What is your opinion, and how could you solve these problems, said the Yugoslav Third World Communist journalist, and overcome the present difficulties? The main difficulty is that we have abided by the position of independence, sovereignty, and self-reliance, and of deciding by ourselves our own destiny. The position runs counter to some countries, that is, the expansionist and the imperialist. How to solve these difficulties? This problem would depend on the factors of our side and those of the opposing side. We have successfully sought to solve this problem through meetings and negotiations. Immediately after liberation in June 1975, myself, said the Prime Minister of Kampuchea or Cambodia, and other comrades went to Hanoi, the capital of reunified socialist Vietnam that was backed in its liberation efforts against U.S. imperialism by the Soviet Union. Immediately after liberation in June 1975, myself and other comrades went to Hanoi. There were many problems, but there was one problem, the problem of border, to be discussed. We said that Kampuchea wants only to live in peace, and in order to preserve, develop, and strengthen the friendship between our two countries and peoples, she considers as state borders between the two countries the present borders that Vietnam has solemnly recognized in 1966 and 1967 and committed itself to respect them. We have also not claimed our former islands. We have not claimed even an inch of territory, said the Prime Minister Pol Pot of Kampuchea. The Vietnamese did not deign to reply, for they have fostered greater ambitions, that is, to take possession of the whole of Kampuchea under the form of Indochina Federation. This Vietnam's feeling, the only buffer against capitalist expansionists, is a unified Indochina. And she has tried to achieve this by sending every year many hundreds of thousands or millions of Vietnamese to come and install themselves as Kampuchea. In 30 years or more, said the Prime Minister of Kampuchea, the people of Kampuchea would become a national minority. That is very clear. In May 1976, we invited the Vietnamese to come and negotiate in Phnom Penh. At first, they did not want to come. That's spelled P-H-N-O-M and P-E-N-H, the capital of Kampuchea. As I said, at first, they did not want to come and participate, the Vietnamese, that is, according to the Kampuchean view. I'm giving you all views, and then you can make up your own mind. Vietnam is pro-Soviet, and Kampuchea is pro-Chinese. When they arrived, the Vietnamese, they said that they were coming because we had insisted on inviting them to come during the negotiations. Vietnam rejected the borders that it had recognized in 1966 and 1967, and that it had committed itself to respect. Vietnam told us that internationalism was our only solution, a unified, federated Indochina, which included Vietnam and Kampuchea. And Vietnam told us that in 1966 it agreed with Kampuchea for that time, for at that time it needed to fight against U.S. imperialists, therefore it was a dupery, according to Kampuchea. Furthermore, Vietnam has proposed a new borderline cutting off a great part of our territorial waters. For us, that is expansionism and annexation. That is no friendship. Because we are small, Vietnam has exerted pressure on us, but we did not accept it, and the negotiations had not then led to any result. In the parallel direction with these negotiations, the Vietnamese continued to attack us along the border, aiming at forcing us to comply, but we have always refused. After having waged a hard struggle against the imperialists and their lackeys, we cannot accept to be slaves of Vietnam. This is highly emotional and paranoid. Now, how to solve this problem? We will solve it according to the concrete situation. If Vietnam really respects our independence and sovereignty, if Vietnam fosters a genuine friendship with us, there would be no difficulties in solving the problem. Kampuchean Press Agency, respected Comrade Secretary, said the Yugoslav journalist, we would like to ask you to state precisely how is the present situation, what is the objective of the Vietnamese, what is the position of the Democratic Kampuchea in solving this problem. We will stop the radio transmitting for the time because of the rain. Cut the tape. Cut the tape.
Okay.
Vietnam does not abandon its plan of Indochina Federation. Since 1930, it has systematically sought to achieve this objective. That's a bit hypocritical, then, if Kampuchea says they've been doing it since 1930. Because they accuse them of hypocrisy and dupery by breaking some agreement about borders. Since 1930, it has systematically sought to achieve this objective. First, it wanted to have an Indochina Federation as a single state, with one party, one people, one army, and one country, Marxist-Leninist, within the Vietnamese Indochina. After it pretended to present the problem in the form of special friendship and special solidarity, sanctioned by agreements or treaties of special cooperation without any limitation in the fields of internal policy and external policy, said it was important to have a federated Indochina because of mainland China's turn towards imperialism and abandonment of the Third World in its foreign policy. And it wanted these cooperations in the military, economic, and cultural fields also. Since 1975, after liberation, Vietnam has continued to present this problem in the same form. Such is the essence of the Indochina Federation of Vietnam. It means the abolition of borders, which would bind Kampuchea to Vietnam within the Indochina Federation. In order to achieve this objective, Vietnam has carried out activities of spying, subversion, undermining, division of all kinds inside Kampuchea, said the Kampucheans. This is a Kampuchean perspective from their bias. The Vietnamese, said the Kampucheans, have done this for a long time, particularly from 1965 to 1975, when they asked and obtained refuge in Kampuchea's territory. They took advantage of the friendship of Kampuchea's people to carry out subversive activities, create a separate party, set up a separate power, create a separate army in Kampuchea's territory, already under the control of Kampuchea's revolution, and which Kampuchea, formerly known as Cambodia, generously gave them refuge. It seems that socialist states do well when they realize they have a common enemy in imperialism and the Trilateral Commission and monopoly capitalism. Concerning the party, particularly from 1970 to 1975, the Kampucheans said Vietnam carried out all the most criminal procedures aimed at annihilating the correct and clear-sighted Central Committee of the Communist Party of Cambodia, or what is known now that it's been liberated from U.S. imperialism as Kampuchea, in order to replace it by its accomplices who are crooks, corrupt persons, and traitors in the revolution, and their puppets ready to obey the least Vietnamese order. The Yugoslav journalist said, has Vietnam now abandoned its aggressive and annexationist aims? Not at all, said the Kampucheans. Many divisions of its army, its artillery, and armored cars have continued to violate, aggress, and pound the territory of Democratic Kampuchea. At the moment, it proclaimed that the plan of Indochina Federation was no more than it respected the so-and-so border and pretended that it wanted to negotiate. Vietnam sent many armed forces to launch a large-scale attack of invasion against Democratic Kampuchea. Cut the tape. We'll stand by. Of Kampuchea. And the revisionist journalists of Yugoslavia, who are more sympathetic to Kampuchea because it does follow an anti-Soviet line. Before we continue, we wish to start blood typing during the tonight at 7:30, where we'll have testing. We'll also have blood typing during the meeting. Otherwise, it will take off so much time from work time. Marcelin's idea, we thank you for this concept, and we will gladly utilize it. Anything productive that can be done during people's rally, we're glad for, but we do not want it to divert attention from the discussions about agriculture and education in reference to world events. I would like to ask Joyce Parks to have a list of most common medications we need given to Sharon Amos to price check in Caracas, because some of our people have to go there. The Agricultural Committee should also prepare a list of things not in Georgetown. Take note again. Two of our people have to go for a meeting in Caracas. We would like to have a list of most commonly used medications that we need in our free medical clinic to assist people, our beautiful Guyanese neighbors, and our immediate Jonestown community. We need them to be given to Sharon Amos, and we need them to be given to Maria Katsaras, because they leave by air tomorrow from this, our lovely, lovely little haven. So we can price check in Caracas. We have been given approval by Dr. Hamilton Green, who's been very friendly to this free medical clinic, to receive all medications and supplies duty-free and import license-free. So please get those to Joyce Parks, medical dispenser, medical practitioner, immediately. The Agricultural Committee should also prepare a list of things not available in Georgetown. We're going to have to find other sources, as you know. We need parts, etc. Lists of parts, especially tractor and hard-to-get equipment parts. If Charlie Touche would also have that list available before they go out in the morning by air and then on to Caracas, Venezuela, we would appreciate it. I was saying the Kampuchean propaganda view. Was this a pure coincidence, or rather a coordinated plan, said the Kampucheans about the Vietnamese. It is clear that it was not a coincidence, said the Kampucheans, but surely a systematic and pre-established plan with the intention of continuing to mislead world opinion. The Socialist Reunified Vietnam proclaimed that it wanted to solve the problem through negotiations. But indeed, on May 7, 1978, and on the 8th and 9th and 10th, the Vietnamese army launched, again, large-scale attacks against Kampuchea. That's not the way BBC carried it. BBC said it was the reverse. The Kampuchea launched the attacks. Well, following now is Vietnamese point of view. The Vietnamese border fight position. This is an excerpt from the May 7 statement of the Vietnamese, May 17 statement of the Vietnamese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. With regard to the Vietnam-Cambodia border question, in its December 31, 1977 statement, the Socialist Republic Reunified of Vietnam affirmed Vietnam is resolved to defend its independence, sovereignty, and territorial integrity.